We just wanted to take this time, just if you were involved in the play, and I mean like in any way, like you handed out a tract to someone. I really do. Like stand up. Like stand up, please. Please. You handed a tract to someone. You invited someone to an Easter play. Like that, it's incredible. It's incredible. And then if you did like participate in the play like a little more, like you were involved in the play, please stay standing. I just want to say thank you. Also tech crew, Pastor Matt, Sarah, yeah, thank you to everybody. It takes a lot of people to put that on, to put that show on. If you saw it, raise your hand. Yeah, even more saw it. And so we just want to give a huge thanks to those that helped out and put their time and sacrificed, you know, Bible college class, sacrificed weekends. Luke and Miles, are they here? Luke and Miles sacrificed like every weekend from like January 1st through, and they worked the cafe. So we had them, Sunday morning, they'd go to the cafe to work after the 11 a.m. service, and we would be waiting. Me and Leah would be here waiting for people to clear out, waiting for them to close the cafe, come to rehearsal, rehearse all day, and then they'd go back to the, you know, they'd be here for Sunday night service, and then they'd go back to work the cafe for the evening service. So those guys need, like, they gave up their whole weekend. And they're young guys. They're young guys, so I'm sure they felt probably maybe that they could have used those weekends for other things, but thank God that they chose to spend it for the Easter play. And it paid off, didn't it? I mean, they did an excellent job. Those guys, the chemistry they had is incredible. It's incredible. So if you see them, just give them a thanks. And I just have a quick thought. And just like off of the Easter play, it was about the road to Emmaus. And as many of you raised your hand, you saw it. Well, first let's pray. Father, thank you for this season. God, thank you for sending your son, God, to die on the cross. We just don't take it lightly. Your willingness to come here, your willingness to sacrifice yourself, Lord, to pay the penalty that we were due to pay to you, God, and you willingly came down and took that punishment. We're just so thankful that you show up in our times of need and times that we doubt, that doesn't faze you, God. That doesn't scare you at all. You're not scared by that or anything. You're just right there with us, meeting us. Just ask you to fill us, bless these words, God, this thought, to speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And so many of you saw it. It starts with the crucifixion, which is kind of an interesting way to start the Easter play. Usually it's like the end of the show, you know, you build up to the crucifixion and you end it, but it's, you know, you start right off the bat with the crucifixion. And it gives the audience like a shock, like, whoa, okay, what just transpired here? And in a lot of ways, that's like us. Like, we realize, like, Christ was crucified. The reality of what happened on that cross doesn't really sink in until, like, time goes by. And we're like, it settles in our heart, like, what just transpired. And for these disciples, so the rest of the show is about these disciples, of course, you saw it. But, like, what just transpired? Like, they don't know. We have the full Bible. We know, right? We can read even Revelation. We know the future, what's to come. But these disciples, you have to understand, did not have that. They didn't have the full revelation of God. They just had this moment that, like, it changed the course of history to the point where the date is 2024 because of how the impact Christ had. That what just happened on this cross, and they're so scared. They, like, you know, Christ just got crucified. Like, we're going to get crucified. Like, this is what's going to happen. And so they're fleeing on the road to Emmaus. And so this whole story is in Luke. And Pastor Love did a great job on this, speaking on this before the Easter play. But just turn with me to Luke 24. And just kind of think about this again with me. Like, these two disciples, undoubtedly, they believed in Jesus. Like, undoubtedly, they were, like, following Jesus. They were trusting in him. And then this event transpires, and they don't know what to make of it. And so they think that, okay, well, we need to get out of here. We need to go to Emmaus. And so in Luke 24, two of them, in verse 13, traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus. And before this, is in the verses before this, we hear, you know, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of Mary, in verse 10, they tell all these things that they've seen. They've seen the resurrected Jesus. So they come back into the upper room, and you guys saw that, and they say, like, this is what happened. And they were over here telling that story, and these two disciples, we're focusing on them, but we see how they're reacting to this news that Jesus is risen. Again, they don't know the full revelation. You know, they would have heard Jesus say these things when he was on the earth, but that it was going over their head. You know, these were the disciples Jesus chose were not well-educated men. You know, they didn't, you know, so they're thinking, okay, what's this? He's risen from the dead. And it says right here in verse 11, their words seemed like idle tales, and they didn't believe them. They, you know, Mary, these reputable people are saying, we saw, like, think about people you know and love and trust coming to you saying, I just saw this, you know, Jesus is risen. And it seems to them like idle tales, and they don't believe them. So these two didn't believe this news, thought it was really bad, that if Jesus is going to continue to be alive, they're going to be telling people about this, and we're going to be facing the cross. Imagine what they just saw. And they flee and they go, but Christ, I love it, because Christ meets them on this road as they're talking together, and Christ meets them and says, what kind of conversation is this you have with one another as you walk and you're sad? And I was just thinking, like we there's the world has a type of comfort for when we go through, like, tragic situations. The world has a type of comfort to offer, and it is so not helpful, like, at all. And you think about the things you might have heard. I've heard these, but, like, all these types of just phrases, I don't even want to say them, they're so awful, but, like, things that just you hear when you're going through tough times. If you remember back to a time where you were unsaved, and you were going through a tragic situation or a tough situation, I feel really bad for people that are dealing with tragic situations, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a husband or spouse, someone that you know is taken from you, and you have to go through that without Christ. It's amazing how the psychologists and the therapists, they have nothing to give people. Nothing. You know, time heals all wounds. You'll learn, you know, whatever if you think of them, they I'll be with you. Or if, like, you have a dying relative, think of me. I'm going to be with you. When you think of me, I'm going to be there with you. Like, are you kidding me? That's awful. Like, it's gross. It really is. And I think that, like, when Christ is leaving the earth, before he leaves, he says, I will send you another. I will send you a comforter. I will send you a helper. Right? And it's not the comfort, like, oh, I'm going to be with you when you leave. You know, when I leave, I'll be with you. No. This is like a true comfort. True, like, himself. I mean, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's sending a person to us. And these disciples that walked with him for 3.5 years, he told them this, and he did, and he sent them the Comforter. And he sent them this person, the Holy Spirit. We have this same Holy Spirit. We have this same Comforter that comforted the disciples. When the disciples were physically on the earth with Jesus, they walked with him, and they were with him physically, and then he left and departed from them. This Comforter satisfied these disciples after he had risen, and he sent the Comforter. This same Comforter comforts us today. And I just that's like a beautiful revelation. Like, The Spirit is in 1 Corinthians 2:12, we have received the Spirit of God that we might understand the things that have been freely given to us. And this understand is like we will know experientially the things that are given to us. Just as much as we know, like, you go into the cold and, you know, someone says to you, it's like an ice, you know, it's cold. And you've never, you know what cold feels like. You've been in the cold. This is the knowing. This is the understanding that we have with Christ. And just thinking about, like, this morning's message was incredible. I mean, at the 11, I wasn't there for the 9, but the 11 a.m., just Pastor Schaller got fired up, fired up. And it was amazing. And I loved that. I loved that. And like Romans 7 and 8, we have like this is the comfort that we need. Like when we're going through tragic situations, when we're going through really tough times, I need the word. I need Christ. I need if God is for us, who can be against us? I need he who did not spare his own son, how will he not freely give us all things? Like, that's what I need. I don't need, like, I'll be with you. No, I need the words of Jesus. I need the words in red. That's the only, I was in bondage to sin. I am an evil person without Christ. That I give him my unrighteousness. I give it to him, and he gives me righteousness. What? That's what I need. And that he will send me the Holy Spirit. That he's faithful to send me the Holy Spirit. Those are the things I need. And I need, verse 25 of Luke 24, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded on them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then, so in a few verses later, in verse 29, they constrained him to abide with them. And it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, they took the bread, they blessed it, they broke it, and then their eyes were opened, and he vanished from them. As soon as they realized who it was they were talking to, he's gone. Jesus, he's gone. And I think, it's just a testimony to how we live by faith. He needed to show up physically again. He needed to be there with these disciples physically, showing them as well as Thomas, and as a matter of fact, the entire disciples. He appears to them, but he needed to do that. And then when he taught them and showed them, hand-holding them through this process, going through the scriptures with them, showing them, giving them what they need, as soon as they understand it and they realize it, he goes. He's gone. Because it's still not the time. It's not the full revelation. He's not going to bring them to heaven and they're going to be all, singing and dancing yet, right? They still got to live by faith. They're still going to face trials. They're still going to have to live by faith and learn to trust him. They still have things to learn, like you and me. We get saved. We maybe have gone through and we have experiences that are amazing. And they're like, yes, but we can't depend on those experiences. We have to depend on just continually trusting in God, trusting in the scriptures, trusting in the word. I don't trust in my experience. I trust in the word. But he leaves them at that time. He doesn't stay with them. And that's just like us. God gives us exactly what we need at the right time, but pulls back. He vanishes. He pulls back at times where maybe we feel like we needed him, and we're like, wait, no, that wasn't. You shouldn't have vanished then. You should have vanished a little bit later. Maybe continue to finish the meal and spend the evening, and then maybe during the night vanish because we need you a little longer. But he vanishes at the right time, the time that he knows is right. Not the time we think we know what we think. And in the same way, we go through things and we're like, God, where are you? I need you. You were there at this time in the past. I remember you were there. But now you're not, it doesn't feel like you are. And he might have vanished, but he's not gone, right? He's not gone. He will send the Comforter. He will send the Holy Spirit. In the same way the disciples were with Jesus physically, they were satisfied with the Holy Spirit later when he gave them the Holy Spirit. That is the same with us. We can be satisfied with the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, even though we never physically were with Jesus, but we have the Comforter. So that's just what I wanted to share with you guys. So thank you. Yes.
We're going to read one verse. You could stand for one verse. The Browns over there, come on. One verse, Philippians 3, verse 10, okay? Let's read it together. Can we do that? Wait, I hope it's huge right here. Let's do it. All right, 1, 2, 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Lord, just bless these words, God. We thank you for this whole week, Lord. You just showed up as you always do. It is your faith. And just give us encouragement as we close this Easter weekend and we continue fellowshipping with your sufferings and in the power of your resurrection, and we may know you deeper and deeper each day as the day approaches. Bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. That was a different translation than what I was used to, so I was kind of like, wait, is that the right verse? All is well. So good verse, huh? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So the Apostle Paul is speaking here. I'll go through this quick in chapter 3. And he's going over like his spiritual resume. And he's talking a lot about loss, suffering, all these things. And you could see in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So this is at conversion, Paul. Paul's looking back in his life. He's like, man, I thought I was gaining things, but I was just gaining them like for my own reputation. And they were not necessarily like harmful things, but they were more for his flesh. And then at conversion, when Jesus showed up in his life, he's like, wow, like I counted all those things as lost for Christ. And then in verse 8, he says, yeah, doubtless I count all things but loss. All things. So this is now the Apostle Paul in the present at this time. This is like 30 years later. And he's still saying that I count things lost for Christ. If Christ is in him, I don't want him. And if you go down to the end of that verse, but we'll read more of it. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. He suffered the loss of all things. He's saying this in prison right now. He's in a Roman prison, so he can say this. How many of us lost things in our lives? You know, family members, money, whatever it is, we've lost many things. But he's saying all things I've lost for Christ. And this man has so much joy and so much power in his life because he knows God deeper. Look at this in verse 8. Let's read that again. I doubtless and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is amazing. Jeremiah 9:23. Who's up there? Hit me. 9:23. This is a good one. Knowing Christ deeper. This is not like knowing him just, you know, we can know him, his historical life. We could read through all about that, but there's something deeper that goes in it. 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me. We know Jesus Christ. Paul's like, everything's a loss. Knowing Christ is the key in my life. Knowing Christ through my suffering was the key that brought me through. And Paul's just telling this to the Philippian church. He said, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but what? Dung. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, are you playing with dung? Are you playing with dung? There's some parents here. They're like, yes, Jesse, every day I'm playing with dung, actually. I am playing. Everything was dung. Dung had two meanings, and it was fitting for both. One was discretion coming out. Your body, we eat food, right? It takes in nutrients, but then it discards what is not needed. That is what he was saying about things that weren't for Christ. Or the other version was crumbs or things that fall off on the table. The guts of the meat or whatever, the fat, it falls off on the table and you just throw it in the trash. Throw it in the trash. He says, whatever in my life that wasn't for Christ was just like that. But he's saying, but like, listen to what he's saying. Like, he's getting to know Christ on a deeper level. And it's so beautiful. And let's go into it. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let's fellowship in his sufferings for a minute. I'm taking you back to Good Friday. Is that all right? I need to go back to Good Friday. I need to go back to the cross often, right? Because our flesh comes up. Things come up in the world. I need to know exactly what happened on the cross. And we don't know to a full extent, but let me fellowship some more with that. So every time I hear the cross message preached here on this pulpit or in the classrooms, it like revives me and fires me up. Because this is our faith, right? Like Jesus Christ, all our sins of the world are placed on him. And I'm refreshed because like it is finished, right? So Matthew 27. Let's fellowship in his sufferings. Matthew 27. Recently, we went to Budapest, Hungary, my wife and I. And before we went, I went to the doctor. I had an ear infection for the third time in like 3 months. Like not normal, right? So I go to a doctor. I'm like, I keep getting the ear infection. He's like, are you swimming in pool? I was like, no, it's freezing out there. You're not swimming in pools. So I was like, no, I haven't been swimming. I haven't been doing nothing of that. He tells me, he's like, what, like, are you allergies or something? I was like, yeah, I'm allergic to cats. And my wife has a cat. And he goes, it could be the issue because it could be buildup of just mucus. And so it converted to your ears. So that could be a problem. What am I saying? You know, we have to die sometimes. Physically, sometimes we have to die. But why? I love it because she loves the cat. Peanut. She loves Peanut, so I'm fine with that. Pastor Ronaldo calls it Walnut. She's like, that's no small cat, that's a walnut. And I bring that story up because I say, everyone asks me, oh, how's married life going? And I'm like, it's great. I'm like, I'm dying a lot. And they're like, they're put off by it. Like, what? It's true. Like, we're dying to the flesh. And that's a funny way to put it. Another one, a week before we're flying out, we realized that we forgot to put our middle names on an international ticket. And that is needed for an international ticket. So my wife calls me. She's like, give me the line, whatever to call the airline. And I was busy, so I texted her a number. I gave it to her. She calls, and we get it settled. And it happened to be a scam website, you know, just taking money from us. What happened to Kaylee? She had to die to the flesh, right? She had to like let that go. God figured it out, though. God figured it out. Those are like small, minor things that I could apply, you know. But our life is daily, dying daily, and how did Christ suffer? I want to fellowship how Christ suffered, and let's look at this in Matthew 27. So Jesus Christ is on the cross in verse 39. He is on the cross now. Lord, just bless this word. Thank you, Lord. He's on the cross, and you could say his weakest moment. You could say Satan tries to get you to give up. The world tells you to give up. And even ourselves will tell us to give up. Look at Christ. He's on the cross, and this is what he came for. In verse 39, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroys the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. First point, come down. Come down from the cross. You don't have to die. Look, you did a great job, Jesus. You're on the cross, like you said, but just come down now. Stop suffering. Look at what you accomplished for God. How can I fellowship with that? Jesus says, take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You could hear the enemy of the world saying, come down from the cross. Stop taking up your cross. You took up the cross like Jesus said. Now put it down and do things for yourself. Save yourself. Stop suffering and liberate yourself. Right? Liberate yourself. Live. This is the world speaking. And in an application, thanks to a brother, Joshua Harris, he gave me this application in Nehemiah 6, 3 through 10. When Nehemiah is building the wall, they come up to Nehemiah. They say, come down. Come down from that wall. And Nehemiah said, no, I will not come down from the wall. I'm doing a great work, and it will not stop. Praise God that Jesus didn't come down from the cross. Point number two. Keep reading. Verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Point two. He saved others, himself he cannot save. We're told as Christians we're supposed to live for others. Jesus said in John 12, lest a grain of wheat fall and dieth alone, if it dies, it then brings forth fruit. It is the life of others. It's different from then the world, what the world says. It says to live for yourself. Jesus says live for others. In 2 Corinthians 4:12, it says death works in us. That's Apostle Paul again. Death is working in us, but life is in you. Praise God for that. That we get the sacrifice, like Avery was saying, the sacrifice of the whole play. They're sacrificing their weekends. They have jobs, families, etc. And they do that, why? To give life for others. And many people receive Christ. You know, I talked to Cabo. Cabo was one of the salvation people who just received people after they received Christ. And he's like, Jesse, they don't understand what they just did. And he's like, and I get to be a part of that and tell them that. Like, you have no clue what you just did. You just received eternal life. And he gets to be a part of that. And he's like, I'll do it. It's my favorite time to do this. Or it's my favorite part of the year is to be a salvation counselor. An example. Christ, Peter said, don't go to the cross, right? Jesus is like, be it far from, like, get behind me, Satan. Don't let the enemy tell you to stop going for Christ, to taking up your cross, to denying yourself. Don't let the enemy fool you. You're giving life to others. Christ is living straight through you and giving life to others. You could hear the enemy saying, stop helping the homeless. Stop teaching kids and kids ministry. You're wasting your time. The ministry is wearing you out. Oh, come on. Do you hear this sometimes? Man, cast those things down. Because this is the life of a Christian is amazing. It is difficult. There is suffering. But there's so much life and beauty in it that comes with it. Praise God for that. Let's go to the third point and close. In verse 42, he save others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Look at that third point. He trusted in God, so he should be delivered. He shouldn't be suffering. He shouldn't be going through this pain. If you trusted in him and you're a child of God, you shouldn't suffer in this life. That's wrong. There is suffering in this life, right? There's a lot of suffering in this life. The apostles, after following Christ, what happened? What happened to each and every one of them? Pastor Cerbelli brought it up in one of the grace hours. They all ended up dying for their faith, being martyred. Only one lived long, and that was John. But they had so much joy in carrying out the message and the good news because they received the Holy Spirit, and they were living for something greater than just saving themselves. And this is amazing. This is what I'm saying to you today. It is that it is worth it. It is worth it. Jesus said, it is finished. So now I could say it is worth it because he is worthy. He is worthy of all of it. My life, I'll lay it down. I count everything as dung. Everything else that I do for myself, it'll feel good for a while, but it's nothing. Many people, when I was committing to Bible college, and it's a little Bible college plug here, many people are like saying to me, you're wasting your life. Like you have so much potential, they said. Go and start a business, do all these things. And I went to Bible college, and I'm telling you, if you have never been to Bible college or you think about it, go to Bible college. It's the greatest decision you could make. Because why? Those three points back in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Praise God for that. You could say, hey, Jesse, I don't like to suffer. Like I said, we're all going to suffer, right? We're going to suffer. So there's suffering in the world, and, you know, all these things are happening, and they're just fellowshipping in the suffering. But they're missing the other points that we have. We know Christ. And how do we know him? We know he's a good father. We know he's a good shepherd, and all things work together for those who love him. We know him. We know he has a greater purpose. And then was the second point? The power of his resurrection. That through death, there is life. There is resurrection life. And it fills us up. And we could suffer and we could be like, just have so much joy in our life. Because we get the fellowship with the suffering servant. He came to suffer. He came to die. And then in the third day, he rose. Friday's good, but Sunday's coming, right? The third day he rose again and he conquered and defeated death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your grave? Resurrection life, guys. There's nothing better than to lay down your life, to sacrifice, to fellowship with God in his sufferings, because he's with us. And then there's resurrection life produced. And we get to know him on a deeper level. And we get to say, glory to God, all things are lost. But to get to know him is just, there's so much power in that. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. And Father, we just thank you for these words. And the close of this Easter week, can it be Easter every week? Yes. The answer is yes. Resurrection life can be every single day. May we wake up each morning, say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives within me. Thank you, Lord, for the cross and this weekend. Thank you for just taking the burden on you. Your burden is easy. Your yoke is light. And we have an anchor. The ship is moving. There's storms, there's sufferings. But boy, there's that ankle holding in, and it's not going anywhere. And we get to come back down, and we could just fellowship in the Word and fellowship in the body, and just to get to know you deeper and deeper as we get closer to the day that we get to see you face to face. Jesus, bless the rest of this evening. And we just want to pray if there's anybody here who has never received Christ, with all every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never asked Christ in your heart, you could do that now. It's simple. It's by faith. It's all by faith. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I know you died on the cross. I know you rose again. I want to know you deeper, Lord. Why did you do that? Why did you rise again? Why did you have to sacrifice yourself, your only son? Come into my heart. I want to be new and transformed. And if you said that prayer tonight, if you would raise your hand, please raise your hand if you said that prayer tonight. Thank you for that hand right there. Praise God. We thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else who's done said that prayer? Thank you, Lord. Wow. It says when one person receives Christ, the angels in the heaven are dancing and partying. And you know what? We're going to dance and party with them too. So, Father, bless the rest of this evening and bless the ending song. In Jesus' name, amen.